Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. We're live tonight till 7 o'clock here at the Rouse's 701 Barone in the CBD. Don't forget to stock up for all the big games this weekend at any Rouse's. They got party platters. They got sandwich trays, all the snacks, the beers, the drinks, anything you want. Get it at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints and of LSU Athletics. And Deuce, while we were gone, of course, it's interesting how this works sometimes. Sometimes the least relevant conversation we have sparks the most action on our text line. And, of course, everyone has explained to me why making groceries is a thing here in New Orleans. And
It's not New Orleans, though.
Well, it's not just New Orleans. It's more Louisiana. It's a French phrase. It's a direct translation, basically, from French.
We weren't French in Mississippi, and it was making grocery.
Well, maybe there's a lot of people that were from this area that were up there with you in Mississippi.
No, but.
Well, then good. All these people on the text line are completely wrong. It's just how you say it down here.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't French in Mississippi. We were making groceries up there, too.
We also got numerous, for both sides of this, that y'all is a word in the dictionary and that y'all isn't a word in the dictionary. So the jury's still out on that one. Right?
Which dictionary we use.
And finally, somebody said you'll never find a good Louisiana Thanksgiving in Atlanta. It doesn't exist out there. I will tell you, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, but we were invited over for Thanksgiving with the Stinchcombs. So John Stinchcomb and Allie Stinchcomb invited us to go out and have a little Thanksgiving out there. So
is that going to be on Wednesday night?
No, or that's no,
early,
no.
Oh,
that's,
early
that's
Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah, they said they were
going to
eat.
It's got to be early Thursday.
They were eating at 1. We can do that.
7 o'clock? 7 o'clock?
8:30 in Atlanta.
Man. Oh, man, we good then. We have 1 o'clock. We got to eat fast, though. I mean,
can't
get seconds.
Can't be laying around. We can't nap.
Well, you can't. That's what I'm saying. I had to try to prepare myself for seconds. Because if this is a four-day ordeal, then I got to at least get some seconds in.
I appreciate that you go with a four-day.
Yeah, it's a four-day ordeal
for eating. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's
like
a four-day eating schedule, and so you want to have some seconds in there. So if you start at 1 o'clock, you can't take no nap, like you said, and then 8 o'clock, you got to be at the stadium. 6, it's gonna be tight. Got to take a plate to go.
The 5-hour window is not enough for Deuce to get a Thanksgiving dinner in appropriately, and
you,
I got
to take a plate to go.
We'll take go plates.
Yeah, we got to take a plate to go, and so.
But certainly, it's a very nice offer from a really unfriendly guy.
Well, he might not be friendly, but he's gonna have us in the house, and we coming. So you let him know that we'll be there. We appreciate it, and
right.
Just as long as you got some cranberry for me.
Okay.
If you don't have no cranberry, I bring my own cranberry.
Okay, fair enough. Do you like the canned cranberry? You like the jelly cranberry, or you like the fancier cranberry?
Just cranberry.
Just
don't
cranberry.
Have to,
okay.
I'm not gonna be picky. You know, if I had my preferences, then I want some fresh berries, but it could be in the can.
I like the cheap stuff.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be picky, particularly if it ain't my house. But yeah,
very good. All right, so the LSU Tigers traveling out to Alabama, huge game this weekend. Number 2 and number 3 in the first playoff.
2-1.
Well,
in
the first playoff poll,
yeah.
That's the only one that really matters,
yeah.
Deuce.
Yeah, yeah.
1
yeah.
and 2 in the AP. Obviously, it's a huge football game, and I don't think there's any story really bigger in this one right now than the health of Tua Tagovailoa, and whether or not, listen, there's a big difference between playing and playing like yourself.
Right.
And you know, he's 2 weeks off of this high ankle sprain. You know, it's funny. He's like the only guy I've ever heard of that has this surgery done.
The tightrope.
And he's done it twice now, and yeah. I don't know anybody else that's done it.
I know a couple of other college guys, but not as high profile as he. And what's interesting when you talk about that surgery is, and we talked about it earlier, me having the high ankle sprains and other guys having the ankle sprain, and me and Bobby and Christian, and it's I called it anthrax earlier, but it's not anthrax. It's what is the company? Arthrex.
Okay.
Is the company that develops this? It's similar to Drew's.
Yeah, it's an internal splint.
Correct. And so they do an internal splint in the ankle, and that helps the process as far as healing is concerned to speed it up. So normally you're talking about this process being a 25, 28 days type of recovery. But if you do this surgery and you put this internal splint in the ankle to strengthen it, you can basically come back in 10 days as far as practice is concerned. And so it's interesting when you talk about he, because we were talking to our Mr. Everything here, DePaul Smith. He's had it done to both ankles.
Yeah.
And when you talk about a quarterback, you talk about particularly him planning. That's a lot. And so the comfort level, and that's really why I said, made the statement earlier of him not being the runner. And I think that he has to be his full self to be able to beat this LSU team. I don't think that he can't have the ability or the threat of not running the ball and they be successful against LSU. And so I've had that injury. I hadn't had that surgery, so I couldn't tell you how that feel. But on a regular high ankle sprain, it's the lateral movement that you worry about. And so when you talk about a quarterback seeing pressure, particularly up the middle, how can you – I'm getting flushed out of the pocket. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised to see some A-gap pressure to make him move left to right, to make him have to get out of the pocket, you know, and can he do it consistently and be accurate? Or, you know, you talk about the RPO system and him being having the ability to be able to get out on the edge and throw the ball, not necessarily run it. You know, I don't think that LSU will worry a ton about him being the runner. And, you know, he may be at the point where he feels comfortable doing it as far as running, but I would have to see it. You know, and that being the D.C., if I'm Aranda, Dave Aranda, I would have to see him do that and prove to me that he can do it. You know, when you talk about putting the game plan together.
It should help him to see Michael Divinity, starting linebacker for LSU, not be in this game, left the team for personal reasons. He was the leading sack man for the LSU Tigers, had 3 sacks on the season. So that'll certainly play a little bit of a role, but we'll talk about that being an issue for the LSU Tigers and lots more as we talk about this game coming up when we come back here on Fans and the Pros. You're listening to WWO. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros here live from the Rouse's Market on Barone in the CBD. And we have a special guest coming on with us tonight, Miss Ava. How are you doing tonight, Miss Ava?
Good.
This is our special Who Dat, and she's in hanging out a little bit. And you got Miss Ava, your grandfather, what team does he like?
The Saints.
He's a Saint fan?
Yeah.
He's a Who Dat?
Yeah.
Zach, we got to ask her what she dressed up for Halloween, though. What you dress up for Halloween?
Princess Jasmine.
Ooh, Princess Jasmine on a magic carpet. You didn't see any Aladdins out there, did you?
No.
Good. Your grandpa will be happy about that.
You ate plenty of candy, though. You ate plenty of candy, right?
I had 200 pieces of candy.
Woo! I hope you gave some of that away.
No.
No, you can't eat all that candy.
Yes, I can.
No, it's going to make your stomach hurt.
No.
Yes. And then you talk about your teeth. You don't want the teeth going to fall out. It's already falling. It was too much candy. Too much candy, Miss Ava. Well, thank you for coming on for us.
Yes, thanks for being on with us, Miss Ava. And you have a great night. Hopefully we see you the next time we're out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Nice to meet you. Bye-bye. That's Miss Ava. It's our special Who Dat tonight. One more injury, Deuce. You know, we talked – Tua has been in a lot of news. We talked about Michael Divinity leaving the team for personal reasons. That came out this week. Another injury that LSU's dealing with, and this could end up being a big one, and we don't know exactly where he is, has missed some practice time this week, and that's Grant Delpit. Mm-hmm. The outstanding All-American safety for the Tigers, who obviously would play a huge role in this football game with the receiving weapons that this Alabama team has. That's a guy you can't have at 75-80% in this football game.
Well, Zach, I think that's what it's going to be. And, you know it's a lower body injury, whether that's ankle, knee, whichever one you kind of described. And I don't think he'll be 100%, but he's going to give you everything he has. And what's interesting is when you look at that Alabama – skill players, it's really the receivers, but he could be a big part in being able to eliminate things that are happening across the middle. So he's going to have to obviously go out there and play, and hopefully he can play at a high level. But, you know, you hope that he is close to 100% as possible.
One of the things I think will be a really fun battle to watch is, you know, Nick Saban, you know, Nick Saban's a secondary guy, right? That's kind of where he came up in the coaching field. And he is as good as anybody in college football at designing coverages. And you're playing a team that is running some schemes, doing some things offensively in the passing game that you don't see a ton of in college, certainly not at the level that the Tigers have been playing at. And I think it'll be really interesting to see if Nick Saban can confuse Joe Burrow in this football game. Can he throw some things at him that he hasn't seen? You know, I think when you talk about defensive coaches, you know, you put Nick Saban up there with a Bill Belichick in terms of being able to design a defense to stop what a team wants to do. So, you know, there's kind of this back and forth battle that's going to be happening. I think Joe Brady in his role with this team has been as much about understanding the chess game that's going on during any given football game and being able to adjust to what a defense is doing against you. And yet this is a different type of an animal, being able to play that chess game with a coach like Nick Saban.
The one thing I think that obviously for both teams, who can create pressure? Who can be able to pick up the blitz? Who can run the ball? But who can create pressure? So the looks that, in my opinion, that Joe Brady has to be aware of are the zone blitz. The zone blitz type of looks, you know, bringing pressure, showing you A-gap pressure, but really coming off of the edge. And guys being able to fly out of the A-gap to be able to cover the flat or cover the hook area as far as the middle of the field is concerned. I think that's really where the ability for Joe Brady to be, you know, that older, that senior quarterback, where he's going to have to be really, really good. You will have, I think, in next year's draft, in this game, anywhere between 15 and 20 players that will get drafted. That's a lot of talent. That is a lot of talent between the LSU and the Alabama, the Crimson Tide, as far as on that field. So at some point, it's adjustments from coaches who can make adjustments the fastest, the quickest. And the other piece is I'm not giving them too much. I'm not giving them too much where they're thinking so much they can't go out and play. And sometimes that's what happens when you have that extra time, that bye week. You know, we're going to put this in, we're going to put this in, we're going to put this in. We see this look, we can check to this. You know, if they motion over, we're going to check to this. Just let them go out and play. But you have to be able to put them in positions to be successful, just because it is talent on talent. But the chess match is going to be unbelievable in between both squads. And, you know, can kickers make kicks, you know, particularly under 40 yards? Can they be dependent? And you got the ball inside that plus red zone area, and you can make a field goal. I mean, because in a ball game like this, this may be the difference maker.
One of the things, you know, when you've watched this game over the past few years, and obviously this has not been a series that's been real friendly to the LSU Tigers.
Not lately.
No, not lately. Lost the last eight games against Alabama. And, you know, it's a very different team, certainly different offensively. And you know, it's really been in the past for Nick Saban preparing for this game. Can I stop the run?
Can I take the run away?
Because I know that I can deal with the passing game. That's a different story this year. And I think one of the big matchups in this game is, can Alabama play the coverages that they feel they need to play and stop the run with a six-man box? Because, you know, the running game has really been super effective for this LSU offense, especially in the second half of these games. You've kind of worn people out, you know, coming down the stretch of these football games. And in the past few years, Alabama stopping this running game's come in eight-man boxes. And I just don't see that being an option for Alabama in this football game.
The one thing that, in my opinion, is probably the weakest spot, and, you know, obviously I think a lot of that is because of graduation and injuries, with that Alabama defense is the linebackers. I don't think that they have the linebackers that they've had in the past, and I think that's the one area, whether you're running crossing routes, whether you're trying to take advantage of the tight end matched up on some of those guys as far as linebackers are concerned, that is probably the one weakness spot I feel that Alabama has, and LSU can take advantage of it.
Can you remember a college football game with more talent at the wide receiver position than this game's going to have?
No, not with all six starting receivers that are going to get drafted whenever they come out. You know, that's basically what you have. And when I say drafted, I mean first or second round.
Yeah.
That's what type of talent you have as far as just from the receiver room on both groups. Those guys are ones. And you may have one guy that falls to a two. But all six of the top receivers in this game, they are legitimate, you know, first-day receivers.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Philip out in Mississippi. Philip, welcome to the show.
Zach, dude, how y'all doing?
Doing well. What do you got for us?
Zach, I'm going to throw this one at you. Anyone ever approach you with a greeting saying, where you at, Zach? Where you at?
Where you at?
Yeah, where you at? Like, you know, basically, how you doing?
Where you at?
I know where you at. Listen, we could have a whole show. We could do 3 hours on funny expressions that are used in Louisiana. I mean, not funny if you're from Louisiana, but if you're not from here, there's like, you know, it's like a whole different language.
Okay. Look, question. Can you do some that explain the workings of the penalty on offense, 12 minutes in the huddle? And when you get called for that, that a man has to run out before one to go in. I'm going to hang up and listen, but can y'all explain how that works? And the second question is, can the defense get penalized 12 minutes in the huddle? Thank y'all. Who that?
All right, so I think I understand this.
Yeah,
so,
offense and defense, 12 men in the huddle.
Yeah, so 12 men in the huddle offensively. Yeah, you can't even enter the huddle with 12. Somebody has to release that huddle. So that was actually one of my jobs in the huddle, was to count 11. If I got to 12, I backed out of the huddle before somebody else could run off of the field. You can't collect 12 guys. The reason that's a penalty is because you'd have offenses lining up with 12 guys in the huddle, and then kind of last minute sprinting the guy off, and the defense having to, you know, adjust for personnel and all that stuff. It'd be a competitive advantage. And defensively, no, that's not, Deuce, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not a penalty. You can run off the 12th guy defensively.
They don't. Most defenses don't huddle up, and so the defense, the ball has to be snapped. So it'll be basically 12 men on the field for them. Most defenses don't huddle up. And so that's why you don't hear the 12 defensive guys in the huddle. Now, you will have a guy that's trying to run off the field, and he gets caught on the field. And so that's where the 12 men, it's illegal substitution, I think is what they call it for the defensive guys. But it's basically too many men on the field. And then a lot of times, particularly in the NFL, it's not the case really in college. In the NFL, if the offense is sub, the defense has an opportunity to sub as well, and he basically allows the defensive guy to run all the way off the field. The defensive guy can run on the field and get lined up. Not just get on the field, but the referee allows him to get lined up in whatever position he is going in. And so you'll see that ref kind of stand over the ball or right there in between where the center can't snap it back, in between the quarterback. Quarterback's mad because he's ready to go, and the referee won't allow them to snap the ball because from an offensive standpoint, you were allowed to sub. Now I have to allow the defense to be able to sub, and so that's kind of what you get on the substitution side.
All right, let's go to Eric in the Marigny. Eric, welcome to Fans and the Pros, man. What do you got?
So yesterday, I started off my day in Atlanta. I was up there for business. And right around 3 o'clock, I started driving home. And it's a long way from Atlanta to New Orleans. And I got to listen to all kinds of sports talk. I tell you what, it sounds like a funeral in Atlanta. The guys there were just talking about, oh, well, this, that, an excuse. And are we going to have a coach next year? And what if the quarterback really likes the coach? Can we keep him? And I hit the Alabama line, and I ended up hearing Mr. Saban's conference, or his basically his coach's show. And I like Nick Saban. I don't think he's a bad man. Actually, after listening to the whole thing, I think he realizes that he's up against kind of an unstoppable, immovable object. And he was making not excuses, but kind of explaining to the Alabama faithful about how this is not the LSU team of old. And then finally, about middle of the way through Alabama, I was able to pick up the Big 870. I was able to hear Drew Brees on the quarterback show, and it was amazing because I heard everything that he was talking about, saying that he had seen a couple LSU games, And he was mirroring what everyone was saying, what Nick Saban was saying, and the Atlanta folks were saying, that this Saints are different than from before. Just like LSU is kind of taking some things out of the Saints playbook. Everyone's kind of looking at this whole region and going, wow, this is football mecca. So the final thing I got to say is, Zach, you got to go make some groceries while you're there. And Deuce, you're right on the money with a sous vide. You're on it, man. You're a man of the times.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. You know, I call myself a renaissance man.
Deuce, if you put a dry-aged steak in a sous vide, we got problems.
Zach, I told you what I was doing.
Man, I'm just going by what you said. All right, so lots of stuff to unpack there with Eric. First of all, yeah, listen, the sky is falling if you're a Falcons fan. I mean, it's about as bad as the season can go. And we're talking about the fans, right?
Not necessarily the players.
Before somebody calls and yells at us for saying this, that's the fans' mentality in Atlanta right now. You have a team that is going to be blown up, right? I mean, the staff is going to be gone. And when staffs leave, and, you know, I don't know. I think there's a really good relationship there with Thomas Dimitrioff and the ownership in Atlanta. So I don't know you're going to see the GM necessarily disappear. But you're going to see that coaching staff change. And when the coaching staff changes, the team changes dramatically. You're going to see a lot of turnover there. And so, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in that situation. And it really is. It's just weird because it is a talented football team that is just not playing anywhere near that level. And then, listen, you talk about Nick Saban looking at this LSU team. I think if anything, Nick Saban is generally fairly honest. He knows it's a different team. Now, do I think Nick Saban thinks that the LSU Tigers are unmovable? No, I don't. I don't think that's the case at all.
We'll go that far.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure Nick Saban has spent the entire week using all of the numerous motivations, you know, that LSU jumping Alabama, mm-hmm. you know, in the polls, and, you know, everyone talking about this offense, nobody talking about Alabama's defense, nobody talking about Alabama, anything other than the fact that they haven't played anybody yet. So I'm sure, you know, the great coaches are all master motivators, and I'm sure every single one of those things has come up to his actual team.
I agree with you 100%, Zach. Whether it's mental, whether it's just mind tricks, whatever you want to determine that's what we're using, Saban is using. And it's on loop in that locker room. And so you talk about being laser focused as far as his players. Those guys will be locked in and ready to go. At the end of the day, I just think that LSU has a better team overall. You know, when you talk about top to bottom as far as roster is concerned, that doesn't mean that they're going to win the game. Now, they still have to go out there and play the game and go out there and execute. And, you know, you talk about pressure busting the pipe. Well, you'll find out what team folds under pressure. You'll find out, you know, as far as when you talk about a coaching staff making adjustments, can they make adjustments? Because at some point for both teams, they're going to have to make some adjustments. And so it's an interesting dynamic. But when you talk about the GM over in Atlanta, if they do move on from Dan Quinn – that will be the third head coach that he would be hiring. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, as far as an owner that is trying to sell PSL in a new stadium, you know, is this the right guy that I have? And, you know, they have to answer that question as well, because at the end of the day, it's a bottom line business.
Right.
And if you don't have bottoms in the seats, you got to do something. And we both agree that it's a talented squad, but you got to win games, because right now – they're not putting a lot of bottoms in the seats, and obviously they're not winning games. So from the fans' perspective, yes, it's not happy. But from a player's perspective, if you've been around this game long enough, you know if you don't win games at some point, look, we've got rid of coordinators. we've shuffled the deck with players. The next step is the head coach. And if you're not winning for that head coach, he's going to bring in his own guys at some point, because he's going to be gone.
Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll was, what game are you more excited for this weekend? LSU, Alabama, Saints, Falcons. LSU leads that one right now, 62-38.
I'm in that 62 number.
That's it. Deuce voted in there. All right. More fans in the pros when we come back live from the Rouse's Market on Barone in the CBD. Fans in the pros rolls on until 7 o'clock when we come back here on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros, live from the Rouse's on Barone in the CBD. Make sure and stop in at any Rouse's, your local Rouse's, to get party platters, in Deuce's case, dry-aged beef, been a hot topic tonight on the show. You got someone on the text line supporting your decision to sous vide steak, but no, don't do it, Deuce. Don't do it. You bury that pig in the ground like you like to do in Mississippi, apparently.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time for me to go into the exploits as far as in the kitchen. But, hey, look, whatever you're looking for. I even was over there in that green tea over there and looking at some of the nice little – some orange spice tea over there, Zach. They got some matcha. Is it matcha? Matcha? Don't worry about it, matcha. Don't worry about it, tea. I'm gonna have to get you, man. I tell you, man. I try to get this guy on.
I'm not cultured enough to keep up with you, dude.
Yeah,
you know
I try to get this guy on some green tea. I try to get him a little, you know, some gray, some English gray, a little tea right here. Hey, look, Zach, I got some tea to help you relax and go to sleep.
Deuce takes sleepy.
Sleepy tea,
and he drinks it before games.
Sleepy time, baby.
I got the sleepy time pack right here.
So if you're ever listening
and you think you hear some snoring,
bam,
in the background,
right down.
He just threw tea bags on the table here at the route. Put that away, dude.
Man, I got three or four different flavors of tea. I mean,
man,
hey, you never know, and so. So we got a little decaf. I don't really like my decaf tea. What's the point? Yeah, unless I'm trying to go to sleep and, you know, just really get into the mellow out to go to bed. That's the only time I really need it. I'll tell you that. I'm looking for my green tea, right?
All right.
And then you got your really fine coffee over there. And so whatever you need, just come to Rouse's. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why we're getting to.
Great promo there, Deuce. That was like a Bobby Hebert promo. It took 8 minutes to get whatever you need at Rouse's.
Well, I mean, I was going to get there, but that part of it.
All right, let's jump to the phone lines. Mike and Metairie, welcome to the show. What do you got for us, bud?
I done put Mike to sleep as well. Mike looking for his tea.
I think we got him. There you are, man. Mike. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. What do you got for us?
All right, I got a two-part question. Number one, which draft class do you think in the Sean Payton era is the best so far? And number two, which team so far is the most talented of all the teams we've had so far in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era?
All right. So I agree with Deuce. 06.
06 is the best draft class that Sean has put together. The most talented team, probably top to bottom, based off of – we'll go off of the criteria of being Pro Bowl, was what? I would either say last year's group or 11.
Yeah. So, first of all, 06 draft class was one of the best draft classes in the history of professional football.
Correct.
So, that one wins that we had six guys play over 10 years.
Correct.
In that draft class. So.
And the average is 3.5.
Yeah. So that was a good group, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been asked that question before. You know, here's the thing. I think 2011 was actually the best team that the Saints had in Sean Payton's era. But I don't know that it was the most talented. That team was certainly rolling. But I think – you know, that was more to me an offensive onslaught you were getting.
I agree.
In 11. I personally think that this is as talented a team. I think this team is more talented than any team that Sean's ever had.
Well, I'm going to put a to be determined on that. I have to put an asterisk because this season isn't over.
Well, I hear you, but that's not really the question.
That's not the question.
It's not the best team or the most talented.
I have to judge them in that manner. I mean, because how they play and perform and what guys are added and dropped down the second half of the season is going to play some type of factor into the equation.
I just look at this. I say, you look at this defensive line, I think this is the most talented defensive line this team has put together
in Sean Payton's era.
You take the linebackers, I think there's probably an argument that the John Vilma, Scott Fujita group is as good as this group is. I think it's a very good, you know, linebacker core. I think this is the best secondary.
You've never had a corner like Marshawn Lattimore.
You've never had a corner like Marshawn Lattimore, and you really – I don't remember having two corners that were as shut down as these two guys are. We've had two good corners before. But I think these guys are at a different level, mostly because Marshawn is just a step above, you know, anybody else. Drew Brees has been the quarterback the whole time, the best tackle duo in this team's history. I'm throwing that out there. I know it's still early for Ryan Ramczyk, but I think these two guys healthy are as good as anybody you've ever seen here in New Orleans.
Well, the only thing that you need from Teron is health. I mean, because
– of course.
Yeah, if he's healthy, then yes.
But you don't need health to have talent.
No, not at all. But, I mean, it's hard for me to give him that from a guy like Willie Rofe, who is all-pro.
Well, sure, I'm not saying the best tackle. I'm saying the best tandem.
Tandem, yeah. You don't even have to – Ryan really doesn't have to play anymore to say that. I mean, from a tandem standpoint, yes.
Right, and then Mike Thomas, the best receiver that's been here in the Sean Payton era. We've had a lot of talented receivers, but I don't think anybody touches Mike Thomas. You get to Alvin Kamara at the running back position. Sorry.
Deuce, but, I love you, but no, it's his ability.
Here's the thing. If you put Alvin in that group and you put you in that group and you put Reggie or Pierre in that group, there's just I don't see anybody really stepping out from that group so far that – anyone's being decided in that running back room. So, for me, it's this current team. It's the most talented. Now, time will tell if it's the best team. When we come back, Deuce and I are going
to
make
our
predictions.
Hey, man, I want to talk about these other –
You want to talk about tea some
more?
Yeah,
loose leaf tea.
All right, I'm going to save all of you listening
and some
the
steep,
pain of listening to him talk about
steep,
tea.
You steep the tea.
Any longer.
Man, the Renaissance, man, I tell you, loose
our
leaf
predictions
tea.
When we come back here on Fans and the Pro. This is WWO. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros here live from the Rouse's Market, 701 Barone. Make sure and check into any of the Rouse's, your local Rouse's. Pick up all of your supplies for this big football weekend here in Louisiana. All right, Deuce, LSU, Alabama, on the road in Alabama. Give us your prediction.
LSU by 4. I don't have a score for you. I think both of those, I mean, it's probably, what, 37? 33, I don't know how they get to it, but I think they're going to win by 3 or I think it's 4.
Going 4?
Yeah, I think 4.
All right. I'm going LSU as well. I think it's going to be really tight. I wouldn't be surprised to see this game end in some type of odd way. I think it's going to be a really close game. I'm going to go I think it's going to be a little bit less scoring than people think. I'm going to go 28-27 LSU Tigers with the win. New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, Sunday. You can hear it right here on the Big 870. Deuce and I kickoff is at 12 o'clock. Pregame starts at 8. Also, just so we don't miss it, LSU tomorrow. Pregame there starts at 10 o'clock. You can check out Christian Garrick and Herb Tyler. Start that one out. And 2:30 kickoff for the LSU Tigers. So Saints and Falcons, where are you at, Deuce?
I like the Saints 30-20. I have them at least between 10 and 13 points. So, I mean, you can do the math how you want to do it, but the Saints are going to score at least 30 points, and they can give it up either 17 or 20 points.
All right. I think they're going to actually hold them a little bit down. I'm going to go 31-14. I think the defense playing at a very high level right now. So I'm going to say 31-14 Saints win. So Deuce and I on the same page this week. We want to thank the Rouse's Market here on Barone for hosting us tonight. Mark Menard, who's been running the booth back at home base. Dominic Mitchum, who's been our on-site engineer, and DePaul Smith, who's our handler. Mostly he just points at us and laughs a lot, but we appreciate you being here as well. Thank you all for listening in to Fans in the Pros. Make sure and stay tuned for the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Coming up next, 7 to 10:30, this has been Fans in the Pro on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.